Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. What have we learned at OTAs? What else is shaking around out there? The George Pickens news from last night continues to be top of mind for Cowboys fans and probably the top story in the NFL next week if he does not arrive at mandatory minicamp and accepts a pretty significant fine in order to just not be here. It definitely make me curious about what his training camp plans are and his regular season plans and if he could be plotting up as anything as extreme as what Micah Parsons did last year, suggesting that you know, he would exaggerate his injury to withhold services from the Cowboys. That might have been the straw that broke the back for Jerry Jones. So I can't imagine thinking we could have all of this lined up with everything that we've done this offseason to let it swing on not giving George Pickens a contract that he wants. But we know the Cowboys look at things significantly differently, especially Stephen Jones, who, you know, is still trying to win the Super Bowl by managing the cap conservatively. And it's a tough place to be for Cowboys fans, so we will hope for the best and that the George Pickens saga does not play out like Micah's did last summer. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, if you missed it, Nick Harris was down there last night at his camp in Corpus Christi. It went off great, and he asked him if he was going to be at mandatory minicamp, and George said and paused, and then a representative from his agency kind of cut off the questioning at that point. So maybe he's being advised to not talk about it, just to, you know, make the Cowboys sweat as much as possible. I don't think he would have signed the tag if he really wanted to hold out. So
I agree.
I think he's going to show up and just say, I just didn't want to get hurt, you know. And I would love it if he would say that right now. Like, I'm going to totally play and I'll see you at training camp, but between now and then I'm not going to do much and I just don't want to get hurt. I think we could all understand that because we know the Sean Lee situations. And hell, the Giants have three torn Achilles.
They do.
Since OTA started. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of justification, I think, for making sure you don't get hurt if you don't have the long-term deal. We just come up short again with the equalizer for Canada.
Yeah, just wide of the net there, trying to get a pretty nice shot outside the box as Canada's really trying to push now as they're in the 66th minute down a goal.
Yeah, it's this would be a pretty big upset. I think Bosnia ranked 65th, Canada ranked around 30th. And as the host nation, that would be a massive disappointment, all the buildup and excitement. And you're trying to build momentum up there just as we are here in the USA. That would be a tough loss to take. USA and Paraguay coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. Join Wolchuk, Chiafalo, Lucius, and Fred at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. The best yak wide receiver in the league. Maybe the stats don't agree with that, but my eyeballs tell me he is. He's also the best contested catch player last year, tied for second in the NFL in total contested catches, second in the NFL in contested catch yardage. It'd be a massive blow to this offense. I'm pretty confident that what you saw last year is what you're going to get with George Pickens. I don't know that his training camp participation or lack thereof would be a massive scale tipper one way or the other. You know, I don't think practice and film is his game. I think his game is, I'm going to go out here and get open and throw the ball up. I'm going to grab it.
So the CeeDee Lamb situation from a couple of years ago doesn't frighten you, or just the general history of some guys that end up getting some type of soft tissue injury?
I mean, Lamb's 24 was great. You know, it was actually 25 that is kind of the outlier over the last 5 years when you look at the underlying metrics and like yards per route run. Like, his yak took a hit last year, and maybe that was injury related, but I felt like, you know, CeeDee Lamb was really good in 2024, and the full training camp last year, It can, you know, I think you can struggle, and maybe you're looking for something for the explanation as to why. And, you know, I think once you have figured out your position, you're good. You know, maybe if it happens very early in your career when you should be learning, but if you're established in the league and inside the offense, I think they have a pretty dang good idea how to get you the ball. Okay, listen to the latest Athletic Football podcast. They were talking about what offenses could do to be better. And there were a couple of things for the Cowboys that we hadn't talked about. Number one, being able to better run the ball in heavy personnel. The other day we talked about how the Cowboys were the best team in 11 in the entire league. But you come up against a team that can defend well in nickel but are vulnerable in base. You don't really have the ability to punish them on this football team. You become very, very average, or maybe even below average, when it comes to running the ball in heavy personnels. And they did not add physicality to the offense. No tight end, no fullback, no more physical offensive linemen. So how do you get around that? And I think that goes to what Dak Prescott said this week, which was what he believes is the number one place they can improve, and that would be inside the red zone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The top three teams in red zone efficiency last year were three of the best running teams in football. Tremendous offensive lines. I don't know how you snap your fingers or even scheme it up to make yourself better in the red zone without becoming more physical or having a better running back weapon. I think all their runs inside the red zone for touchdowns, there were 11 of them. They all came from with inside the 10. Mickey Spagnuolo had that in his story this week on DallasCowboys.com.
I think a lot of it is winning your own individual matchups. And, you know, one thing that they've struggled with is how oftentimes are they now first and goal at the 7, and here's a holding penalty or here's a false start. You know, penalties are an issue, but it also comes from, one, better offensive line play, more consistency. Can you stay healthy? You dealt with injuries.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Last year, but I think also being able to keep Javonte Williams a little bit more fresh probably goes a long way to that as well. That's the impact of Jaden Blue. Actually, okay, we're buying into this. We're buying stock. Everything we're hearing about him right now in Kool-Aid season ends up coming to fruition. Phil Maffa, can he give you a little bit of something there? But I think the tight ends blocking. I think Jake Ferguson has shown you a willingness to block. I think consistency has been a problem. I think Brevin Spanford is a guy that they're going to give a lot more opportunities to this year, and he is a good blocking tight end. And then it comes down to who is the third guy that you trust if you want to play 13 personnel. Is it Michael Trigg? Does Michael Trigg emerge as that undrafted rookie free agent who I think could be an absolute red zone weapon for you based on his size and his ability to high point the football? But if that doesn't happen, then who is that other tight end for you if you want to go heavy with 12 or 13 personnel sets?
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Spanford, you know, as a blocker. And I think there's some gold to be harvested in the passing game as well. I think Schoonmaker should be athletic enough and strong enough to be serviceable. And going into year 4 in the league, this is like your last chance of having a breakout. And you're not asking for a lot. Just be the threat. We want to get into 12 and 13 and run it a lot. And then when you're convinced we're going to run it, then we're going to go play action and pass it. And I think Schoony can do that. You know, if you're gonna try to target, let's get 50 or 60 catches out of Schoony and 700 or 800 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, that's going to be a fail. Mm-hmm. But we saw in the draft the influx of drafting guys, and they're not thinking these are stars. They're thinking these are 300 to 500 yard players who are serviceable in the blocking game and will punish your ass if you want to play light in the box. That's all you need to do. And it seems that, you know, at least that part of it should be something that with an entire offseason of focus they could pull off.
They just had the sprinklers turn on during this match.
Oopsie.
I guess, you know, they didn't set the timer or turn the timer off. But, yeah, I don't know. I think in a perfect world, Luke Schoonmaker's not even on the roster. Because that means that I think that, one, Brevin Spanford's taking another step, and I'm really hopeful that Michael Trigg can just take that third spot, because he gives you something that none of these other tight ends have, and that's a legitimate field-stretching, down-the-field weapon as a receiving type of tight end. To me, Schoonmaker just hasn't shown it as a blocker. Like, that should have been what was his bread and butter coming out of Michigan, and it just has not been there.
Not at all.
But if you're inefficient when you're in 12 and 13 and your only other guy is Spanford, Schoonmaker knows your offense. He knows your guys. You know what he can do and he can't do. If you are going to say we're going to roster build with two physical tight ends that can block, taking Schoonie off the team takes you out of that mix. And if you're already struggling in heavy personnel to be efficient, I don't know. Has the blocking been that bad, Brian? Let's hear from you on this subject.
Yeah, I think to me, what you were talking about with
Schoonie.
It's there's times where, and listen, I'm not trying to ride the fence or make it good for him, but at a Michigan, he is not the same guy that he was at Michigan. He was a much better point of attack, you know, hip to hip, get push, get to second level, you know, turn guys, get guys out of the hole. The NFL is a lot different for him. There's a lot of times where he doesn't stay connected. He's not able to get any type of movement. He gets thrown off blocks. His footwork's bad. It's been a struggle for him overall just to try and be even serviceable at that.
Well, if that's the case, maybe he's got to go, and I would be looking at plucking somebody off another roster. Now, how about Lipke? Can he be more of a force?
See, I think Lipke is kind of a one-shot blocker to me. There'll be times where you see him go up in there. He doesn't always hit square. I call it a little bit of half man. He'll go up in there and he'll just get half of the defender instead of, you know, you watch the guys like the really good ones, and it's probably unfair for me to do this to him, but you watch the Kyle Juszczyks and guys like that, and they play on the move. They hit you square. They keep their feet going. They're climbing blocks. It's been a real, real problem for him to have any kind of sustain.
Well, I mean, they paid you, and you're not a dominant runner. You're not a dominant pass catcher.
I think they paid this guy because he never comes off the field. Well, in a way, if you look, he plays all the special teams when they use him, and you know and I'm not saying that in a nice. I'm saying that is probably why. Oh, we love to have this guy because, you know, if they don't figure out how to get the second or the third running back as a good blitz pickup guy.
That's where Lipke
he's likely
in.
Going to be your second running back, because people they're not going to put guys in there that are going to be liabilities as pass blockers.
He could be a guy, though, to your point, that I think could be, you know, an option in the red zone. I mean, he's a tough downhill runner. He had that fumble against Miami at the 1 yard line, you know, 2 years ago, and it's like they've never really given him a chance since then. But then, why did you pay him? So I wouldn't mind seeing if you could. Can you be creative at all with ways to use Hunter Lipke maybe down there in the red area?
Yeah, the red zone's huge. You know, if you could just get to the top 10, you would add 3 more touchdowns. If you would get to the top 6, you would add 6 more touchdowns based on last year's numbers. If you would, you know, have an uptick in your efficiency. Cowboys had the second most yards in the NFL last year, but were 16th best when it came to red zone efficiency. And if you're looking for how you get better at that throughout Dak's career, it's always been through a dominant offensive line and running game. And that's not a shot at Dak. That holds true for pretty much all the best red zone teams year in and year out. It's what you got to do to be better down there. And I would also add this. The Cowboys in red zone EPA per play passing the ball last year, 26th.
Dang.
Running the ball,
that's
19th. So,
wow.
And you had a heavy split towards passing the ball and not running the ball. So I'm not acting like they were awesome at running it, but they were significantly better. And sometimes you have to be able to look your star receivers in the eyes and say, guys, we're not forcing touchdowns to you because you're not good enough at it. We were 26th in the NFL in EPA per pass in the red zone. How are we continuing to think that's a path to glory?
Yeah, that's crazy, and it's really inexcusable when you have Dak playing at that level. You have Pickens and Lamb.
Yeah,
like that should be a huge priority for Clayton Adams to try and figure out what are we doing schematically that's not working for us, because there's no reason why the trio of those guys shouldn't be able to be dominant as a passing offense in the red zone.
And Jake Ferguson's a good tight end. Javonte Williams was very good at catching the ball and running it in. Like, how are defenses able to slow down your passing game to that extent and you're not feasting in the run game? There's big opportunity there. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's play the game of, would these guys be pros, all pros? We'll do that next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.